Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters of Job Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel, also Coming Street Ministries. This is tonight. Look, people, we had to reschedule. Like I said, my work schedule been kind of like fluctuating in these last few months, this last month or so. I guess because of the new administration and everything is working itself out, so I'm asking everybody to be patient until everything gets settled. And eventually, man, either we're going to do it in the evening, we're going to do it in the daytime, but we're going to get it done, God willing, we did. So with that being said, we want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Water, Shabbat Shalom. Oh, man, we one more Sabbath closer to the Father's kingdom. Like Jesus said, I ain't going to drink no more of this vine until my Father's kingdom. That's really what's up. That's really why we even in this thing. Why? Because it's all about Him. It ain't never been about us. I mean, and you know what's crazy about all of this conversation? We really want to make it about us. You know, like we are the most important thing that's going on. Like we got all this knowledge, man. I mean, I'm talking to brothers and sisters, and it's like the same conversation. People can think they just talk smack in front of God and think they're doing God justice. How is that? How is that? How is it that we forget that the God of Israel said this, love your neighbor as yourself? How we forget those things and easily forget them because we always in our pride. You know, and then we got to be careful because the word of God tells us that, what, knowledge puffers up. So we got to be careful with that, and I'm cool with it. You know, so with that being said, man, tonight we're dealing with part two of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What do you mean? Well, last night we dealt with the ordinance and the law. When is the, and we separated the Feast of Unleavened Bread from the 15th day. But what happened is that now this thing, like I said, the feast days are on a creation calendar. And not just on our calendar, they're on a creation calendar. So we have to address them according to that. We have to address them according to the creation calendar. This is that thing. So let's look at this a little further. Let's first open up before God, right? Let's open up, brothers and sisters, brothers, if you can, stand face Jerusalem, uncover your heads so we're supposed to Father. And sisters, if you can, stand face Jerusalem. Cover your head as we approach the Father. In Jesus' name.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debts, and lead us not into temptation. temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy on being a faithful and going to your gifts. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our perfect and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God. This light and blessing is because it's your lifetime. On us, Father, have mercy on them. Father, have mercy on the children and the children's children and their children. Father, send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the faith to perform. Father, have mercy on them to hear us and set forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the faith to perform. In Jesus' name, we pray for your mercy and endure forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All praise to the Lord. Amen. So, that being said, tonight is part two of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Part two of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What do you mean it's a part two? Well, yeah, it's a part two. In fact, if you really deal with this, you got a lot of aspects to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I haven't even touched on the nature of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I mean, these things are just being revealed to me as I just grow. And there isn't enough lifetime for me to get this understanding and stuff concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So I'm not bold enough to say that I know what the Feast of Unleavened Bread completely consists of. All I know is that I can testify the things that I know and see. That's it. As far as that, I got to roll with the law. We see in part, we hear in part. That's why Jesus said Matthew, Luke, John, Mark. Then he had Paul. Then he had Peter. Then he had James. Then he had John, like the most of them. So we get all these different mindsets. We get these different opinions testifying of the same thing. So when we hear different brothers and sisters come from these different angles, you hear these spirits in their mouths and their conversations. So you'll know that this is them. You see, this is that thing that they are from God. Then you have those that have no conversation with God. They always ear hustling. They never have anything to bring from the book or from the table. It's that thing. It's scary. You don't want that. What we want is that what the Father keeps leading us with, and that's his law. The law is that in the next weekend, exactly 8 days from today, is the Lord's Passover. Lord's Passover is 8 days today. So right after the Passover, we had this feast called Unleavened. But the point is, when do we keep unleavened? Well, we dealt with that yesterday. We're going to kind of deal with it today, but it's not about yesterday. Today it's about the creation. So what we're going to ask everybody is to do this. You know, the notes that you are going to keep on it, you know, yeah, tighter than the same, but landscaping. Turn it horizontal. And then I want you to number 1 through 14. And I want you to write on the top of that the creation calendar. Right? I want you to write on top of that the creation calendar. 1 through 14. And then when you get done with that, I want you to write another calendar down. I want you to write down Adam's calendar. Right, I want you to say Adam's calendar up under the creation calendar. So when you get done with the 1 through 14, right, then you go to the Adam calendar. And you number 6, 1 from 6. What do you mean? What you do is you take the number 6 in the creation and you put the number 1 up under it. You start from there. That's Adam's calendar. That's his first day. When? The sixth day. When's the sixth day? When everything, all the, you know, the beast, the cattle, you know, the beast of the field, the cattle.
dominated the bears, the tigers, the lions, the rabbits, you know, stuff like that, deers and cougars and all that type of stuff. All those things are created on the sixth day, right? The fowls and the fish was created on the fifth day. But on the sixth day, the beasts and the cattle was created. So, and then man. So now man is created on the sixth day. So this is that thing. So you start one there because that's his first day at six. So you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. If you go to 8, that should land you on the 13th day in the creation. Now you put 8 there, that's your great white throne judgment because it's right after the Sabbath day. What day is after the Sabbath day? The first day of the week. That's Sunday. Guess what? He told us on the first day of the week it was going to be a judgment. In Genesis chapter 1 and 5. He said there was going to be a judgment. What do you mean? Well, God separated the light from the darkness. And he calls the light good. That's judgment. That judgment took place in the first day in the creation, which just so happened to be the eighth day in the creation. Why? Because seventh day come what? The first day. But if you add them together, it would be 8 days. That brings us to the circumcision of flesh. Both Ishmael, this is how you know this law is real. Ishmael was circumcised when he was 13 years old, where the creation itself is circumcised. That's all flesh. It's circumcised in the 13th day of the creation. Now, the sons of God, those who were born under the covenant after the son of Abraham, after Isaac, all were circumcised on the 8th day according to the law. By that the eighth day, there was going to be a circumcision, which just so happened that the 13th day in the creation and the eighth day of man happened to be at the exact same time. Nothing left over. Great white throne judgment. The eighth day, everybody woke up because Satan is thrown in the lake of fire. Man just woke up. There you have it. Man is circumcised on the eighth day. And what happens? You get to take part in the Passover. Everybody's circumcised. That's why Abraham circumcised everybody in his house. Everybody. Why? Because all men was going to be circumcised on the 13th day of the creation, which so happened to be the 8th day in the creation of man. That's why he circumcised. That's why he said Abraham is the father of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. But there were people that was in his camp that believed in God that didn't get a chance to get circumcised. For whatever reason, maybe they left for Lot. Maybe they went to sleep. God knows. Father of them too, which testified that he's the father of the uncircumcision in this world. Don't matter what color you are. You could be Hebrew, you could be African, you could be Asian, or you could be European. If you're not circumcised, but you perform the works that God gave you, in other words, you live within the means that God gave you, you're in a good place. I mean, you won't see the fire. You just won't get a throne because you wasn't called to that because of your circumcision. You are not circumcised, so you will not see that. That's for kings. It ain't a king going to sit on the throne of Israel, not uncircumcised. So the unleavened bread is a kingdom shot of the circumcision. Because why? Everybody's going to be circumcised on Passover and on the 15th day. Look at that. You got it. Like I said, start, look, people, take a piece of paper and, you know, one, you keep one for your book and your notes, and then you got the one on the side. How do you do it? Just landscape it, man. Just make it horizontal, count 1 through 14, and then at 6, count 1 through 8. And then you go from there. Now, when we get to nine, you're going to find that's falling right up on the 14, which is the Passover, which is the ninth day of man. Now, man is eternal. We take part in the Passover with the Father. That's why he said, I ain't going to eat no more or drink no more of this vine to my Father's kingdom, which is on the Passover. That's what the whole point of taking the Passover. That's the whole point of keeping the Passover, that one day we'll be with the Father doing it in this kingdom according to Revelation chapter 21, 1, 2, and 3. God willing, we can get through those things this night. But no. So, let's start this in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. We'll pick it up at verse 1, because we're going to read all these things until we get to that point. So let me reiterate, this Leviticus is not to the world. Leviticus is to the priest. All right, so let's first wipe that out of everybody's head, that this conversation that you're reading in Leviticus is for everybody that's in the know. If you don't know the law, God ain't talking to you here. So stop throwing everybody in this. This is to the priest. This is called Leviticus. This is to the priest, Levi. He is not talking to us. When you look at Exodus, he is talking to the kingdom, and he is detailed and very, very, very explicit. But when it comes to Leviticus chapter, in the no, why? Because Moses already addressed the Levite on these things. So let's read them, and you will see that he is cut and dry with this because they should know these things. Leviticus 23:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. So they don't have anything to do with you or me or, you know, who we think that shouldn't be keeping them up. Yeah, when you see somebody and you're all in your feelings about this person or whatever, you know, this ain't about you. He said this is his feast. So where you at in this? Why you come in with your drama? You know, if you like that and if you feel like that, you should not be there. But this is about him. That's a fact. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be at his feast with your drama. If it ain't about him, you should not be there. This is why he said keep it at home. You know why? Because you ain't got no issues with people at home. And most people that offend you at the house, you already know where they coming from. But people in the world, they rub you different. He give us this option. To what? Keep it at home. He said this. Verse 3. 10 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath rest. And holy convocation, you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So now, you know, some of us felt like we had to be at the class at that time or anything like that. Well, you know, that's a good thing. I'm not taking anything from that. But he said in all your dwellings. And we also found out that in COVID world, that it's still lawful to keep the Sabbath at home, even though you're still having a holy convocation because you are gathered with two or more. There he is in the midst. So you good. That brings us back to that thing. He said, well, I placed my name there. That's you. That's the whole scenario right there. So he said this. This is verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations. You shall proclaim them in their season. And the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. So we are clear what is the 14th day of the month of Abib. That's next week. And that's next Friday night is the Passover people. That's when Jesus ate with us for the last time in flesh and blood. And then that day he gave himself for us. Before the 15th day, he was already in the ground. He was not around to celebrate the 15th day, so the 15th day can't be the first day, or else he broke his own law that all males had to appear before God. Do that thing. Verse 6. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. See that? And 7 days, that's and. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. He didn't say this is the first day of unleavened bread. That's not what this said. It said, and 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So this is a continual conversation concerning this feast. Now, remember now, he's not talking to the world. He's talking to Levi that's in the know. Now, if he said this, then Levi should understand exactly what he means. Now, we're going to go and read that. What do you mean? He said, verse 7, first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein. Now, the question is the 15th day is the first day of unleavened bread or the 14th day? My take is that the 14th day is the first day of unleavened bread by reason of the Christ being there, because he said, let all your males appear me, and let them not appear before me empty. So therefore, Christ being the first fruits in ways before God, obviously, he did not appear before him empty. So that lets me know that that was the first day of unleavened bread, because he was there and was not there for the 15th day. If that's not being complicated, because it's really not. It's not that complicated if you listen at what's really being done. Not what really being said, but what's being done. Look at what they're doing. Listen at what they're doing, and then there's a narration pointing out what they're doing on this particular day that they're calling unleavened. Pay attention to that. Okay. So right here, like I said, in the Leviticus, this is the know, because these are the priests. They're supposed to know these things. But when we get into the Exodus and we get into 30 and in Deuteronomy, we're going to see that he's really specific in detail for the kingdom's sake. But here, he's talking to us because we already know these things. So he's getting all off into the other feasts and so forth and things like that. So right here, he said this. He said, in the first day you shall have an holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. But you shall often offer made unto fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Now, this is the question. What do you mean, the seventh day? And when is the first day? Well, I had a brother tell me that this feast is actually 8 days. I said, man, you can't read that in the law. But he was guilty. He stood on that. And you can't read it in the law. That this feast is 8 days, because he keeps saying 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. So there got to be a first day. Why? Because before you get to 7, you got to start at 1. That's the question. When is the first day of unleavened? That's the question. That's the question. So let's see. Let's go into Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, and let's pick it up at 17, right? Exodus 12 and 17, and it says this, and ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this same self-same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. See that? This is that thing. He said, you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the self-same day I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me back up. Let's see.
this bag up here to Exodus. You shall eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Okay, so now, this is the Passover. And he said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of Egypt. So now he's telling us what night he's doing it in. It's going to be the Passover. He said this, both men and beasts, against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. So now he's going to execute judgment on who? It's going to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And it tells us, he says, but he told us, he read us in the wilderness. He said this, he said, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. So that's what he said. He's going to execute judgment on their gods. But strange gods they brought from Egypt. Watch this. With the abominations, they provoked him to anger. Why? Because they made a golden calf. Where they get that from? Egypt. And it says this. They sacrificed unto devils and not to God. So he said, I'm going to execute judgment on their devils. See? What? I'm going to execute judgment on their devils because it was the Egyptian magicians that called up also blood to cover the waters and also frogs. They did that too. They did it through devils. That's what man is trying to get at now. They want to achieve those things of the Egyptians, but that's not for this time. Well, it's a time to come because the practice is now. If you look around, this practice is in the world. But are we here, right? What are we doing? So let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. So we see here he executes judgment on the devils. 12, and let's pick it up at verse 12 again. He says this, and I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt when I execute judgment, or devils, right? That's what we heard him say in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Devils, he said, I'm going to execute judgment on them, right? And we brought those devils out of Egypt and brought them into this war that he saved us from, right? Now, watch this. He says, and in this day, and this day shall be for you a memorial. You shall keep it a feast unto the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast and ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, right? So here we go. So is this the fifth day he's talking about here or the Passover? So let's see. From 1 through 13, I know for a fact he's talking about the Passover. So the question is from 14 to verse 18, is he still talking about the Passover, or did he go to the 15th day? Let's see. And the blood should be to you a token upon your houses, so we see. No, he's still talking about the Passover. And when I see it, I will pass over you. There it is, of course. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it a feast throughout your generations, and you shall keep it a feast for this forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. I'm waiting on the step on the 15th day. Waiting on the 15th day to pop up, because I know he said the 14th day. He was specific. He also used the name Passover. So where's the 15th day in this law here, right? That's why I said when he was talking to Levi, he was talking to them in a no. Right here, he's really detailed. Pay attention to this. Verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So we better know what this is. We better know that either it's the 15th day
or the 14th day, because we mess around and eat unleavened bread on the first day, and it's actually, let me take that back. We eat leavening on the first day, thinking the 15th day is the first day, we just blew the wheat. He said, I'll cut you off for that. So we better make sure of this, because when we say that's a misprint, we better make absolute sure that that's a misprint, because our salvation is on the hands of it. That's not just a word like the and them or Billy and Sally. It's a whole law that's being misinterpreted as the first day or the second. We're going to say that that's all misinterpretation to the writers of the King James Bible, that they're wrong according to the law, right? So if that's the case, then the law would testify that Matthew's, Luke, Mark, and Paul, and 1 Corinthians chapter 5, all of them are wrong. The law would testify that, so we're here for that. Because if we don't deal with this, he said, I'm going to cut you off. So we need to know this, man, because salvation is on the line. And in the first day, there should be a holy convocation. So here's the question. When is the first day? Is it the 15th day or is it the 14th day? And he says this. Verse 16, he's giving us the ordinance right now. Remember that he didn't do all this in Leviticus. Levi's supposed to know this because Moses has been talking to Levi the whole time. He's talking to Aaron. Aaron is running this down to the brethren. So it's a no-brainer that they're supposed to know all of this, right? Plus they live through it. And he said this. He said, and in the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there should be a holy convocation to you. No matter of work shall be done, and they'll say that which every man must eat that may be done of you. Ye shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Notice he's still talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? For in the selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day and your generations by an ordinance forever. I'm still waiting. He said, I see the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but I don't see nothing about a 15th day. So you can't say that here because it's not here. We can't add that here. You can't even say that's understanding to add that here because we're not adding nothing. We're going to let the law dictate itself. Then it says this in verse 18. In the first month, Abib, right, on the 14th day of the month, at even of Abib, the 14th day of the month at even is the Passover according to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly shall kill it at evening. If the whole congregation or the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, what happened to Christ? They shall take the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and the upper posts of the house where therein you shall eat. And it says this, you shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast with fire. Why? Because his body was going to be ripped apart. So his body was going to be on fire. And unleavened bread. There it is. So this is the first night of unleavened bread because you don't hear nothing about unleavened until here. I mean, that's kind of self-explanatory, but then it says this. Verse 11. You shall eat, and you shall eat it, and your loins go to your staff, shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste since the Lord's Passover. So we know the Lord's Passover, you've got to eat, according to verse 8, you eat it with unleavened bread, which would make it the first day of unleavened. Because you don't eat unleavened bread until that point. So it is literally the first day of unleavened bread to you. Because you don't eat unleavened until that day, unless, according to the law.
This is that thing. So let's look at this a little further. It says this, verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread. So you're going to eat unleavened bread on the 14th day of the month until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. So that's the 21st day of the month at evening. So when the 21st day of the month come in the evening, then you can eat unleavened bread on the 21st day of the month at evening. So, 14 take away 21 is what? He did the math for us right here. In verse 18, he did the math. And then you got, okay, well, let's mess around with this. I'm not a mathematician. I'm really not that smart when it comes to math. But this is like, you know, okay, he's really doing it for us. Watch this. The first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread. That's the first day right here. Until the 1 and 20th day. So 14 take away 21 is 7. 7 plus 14 is 21. 14 plus 7 is 21. Okay, so you can't get around it. Verse 18 testify against you 24/7 because you can't get around that. That's the law. He just gave it to you. And we can run to Leviticus because it ain't as detailed as this, but this will still jump out at you. If someone has skills, they will bring this up and say, no, it says here the 14th day of the month. And you can't get around that. You want to eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day? Come on, man. That's third grade math. If you can't, if you haven't learned how to, no, that's first grade math in the States. If you haven't learned how to subtract 7 from 21, and that gets you 14, then you don't know how to count. But my pastor taught me that, look, people can be deceived even though they know how to count. They could be scholars and they could be professors. And they being told that Easter Sunday, you get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. Well, this is no different to me. This is the same conversation. You can be highly educated and not really see what this really saying unless you read it out loud to yourself in your ears. When you read this out loud, then it becomes real, and you can't deny it. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, Passover, you shall eat unleavened bread. There it is. Until, where the 15th day? 15th day, the first day, is that what that said? No. Until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days. 7 days, let me read it out loud. 7 days, because I want you to do this. Read this out loud. 7 days shall no leaven be found in all in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, and even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. And that's horrifying because during the week of unleavened bread, what do you see? Pancake houses filled up. And you're horrified at that. You're stupefied at that. Stupefied. Because you know everybody's in 11, you know this law. He can't lie. God can't lie. So you shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. You shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days. So this is to those that's calling this order. Now, everybody just, you know, now if you're hearing this for the first time and things like that, you are not and you're not baptized, well, you can practice this, you know, and when you get baptized, you better show enough practice it. But right now, you just, you know, a novice. You just, you know, feeling your way through it. And if it's something that you will follow, I mean, we got our own traditions in this world that man came up with. That's why I say our own, because I'm a man. But we have this following in this world after the world, like Christmas and Easter and stuff like that. Well, that's after the world. This is after the Bible. We can make conscious choices to do just that. That we'll follow the things that is actually out of the Bible. See, this is that thing. So,
verse 20. And you shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your family. See, God was talking through all of that. So we're going to say, God, you don't know what you're talking about in verse 18. The 15th day is the first day according to us. But we're saying, God, look, God said, he was talking to Moses. This ain't Moses. Moses said, oh, wait a minute. Let me tell the elders right here that verse 18 on the 14th day, which is what they finna get ready to celebrate, they got to eat unleavened bread with that. They didn't have no leavening in their crib, so they got to get rid of all that leavening. That's why when they left Egypt, they had no leavening because they had got rid of it. According to what God told Moses to tell them what to do. Did. They kept the Passover with no leavening in their house. That's why it wasn't any leavening when they left. Some people saying, well, you can still have leavening in your house after the Passover, but then you got to show me where there was leavening bread on the 15th day. Because if that's the case, then, well, let's look at that. Let's go to Numbers chapter 33. Because, you know, some of us don't throw the leavening away until after the Passover or during the Passover. No, you're supposed to get rid of it before then. It says that these are the journeys, number 33 and 1. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Israel with the armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to the journeys by the commandment of the Lord. These are their journeys according to their going out. And they departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, first month, on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out on a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. So they didn't leave on the Passover because they were stuck in a crib because the angel of death was running through the streets killing the firstborn. So no, they were there. And then once he got done with that, then the Egyptians found it was in no place dead. And if everybody was in one place, then they were like, oh, man, well, we got to get these people out of here because God is going to kill everything. He killed the beast. He said the firstborn of the beast, then man. This is that thing. So we see here that they left on the 15th day. Why? Because he said it was a holy convocation on the first day. Why? Because you don't get no holier than that. I mean, you know, think about it. What wickedness you think you're going to be performing and God just told you to go tell the elders that, look, I'm coming through with the destroyer and I'm going to kill the firstborn in Egypt. And then you start hearing people screaming out and you know that they're dying and you are out here talking about, well, you know, the holy convocation is tomorrow. No, Jack, you're praying and you're in your most holiness because you know that if you're not, it's a chance that angel would light into you. We don't have that kind of feel like we did back in the day. You know, but we can say things like that, you know, because we look at this word as something Christian. We don't look at this word as children of Israel. We compare it too much to the West. And it's not about the West. It's about the children of the East. You are not the children of the West. You were sold from the West Bank of Africa, but you are definitely the children of the East. Stop imputing this madness into our world. At least we're trying to be destroyed with it. And I'm not trying to be destroyed with it. This is that thing. Okay. Let's go back to Exodus. Go back to that Exodus and let's pick it up at verse 19. Because we just told the elders what to do, right? So everybody's chill, everybody's at their spot. They ain't moving, they ain't did nothing, right? So they chilling at the crib because they know God is coming through. So he told them what to do. So they went and they did it. They went and killed the lamb, and they did what Moses said, right? And so here it is, he said. Verse 28, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did So they did. They put the blood over their doorposts because they knew God was coming through, because they believed what Moses did throughout all of this work. And now they said, man, listen, man, we watching. Because at this point, it was darkness all over Egypt and light in Goshen. So it ain't no mistake in their mind now that Israel is in the midst of a spiritual battle that they can see with their very eyes. So at this point, when he said put the blood on the doorpost, that was a no-brainer, because he said this. He didn't suffer the lightning to come to their crib, to suffer the lights to come to their crib, none of that. He went in, and he went in on the Egyptians, and now Israel is fearing God because they know that he ain't got no problem killing. So he said this. He said, all the people that was left in the field when he was throwing that lightning and stuff on the ground, because he said it ran around the ground like fire, right? So he said all those that was there, he what? Killed them with the lightning. Burned them up with the fire that ran on the ground. This is the God of Israel. So they was in fear. They knew. The children of Israel seen that. They seen it. So at this point, telling them to put blood on the doorpost to keep God from killing them was a no-brainer. But they couldn't help nobody that was in prison. And I guess whoever was in prison at this time, they must have earned that thing, because God said everybody that was in the dungeon paid for it. They wasn't free. If you was firstborn and you was in the dungeon, you paid for your life. Your life was on the line, and if you was out of here. Just Israel or Egyptian, it didn't make a difference. If you was in the dungeon at that time or in jail, when he came, you just paid. That's all to it. Obviously, in my mind, they must have did something to put them there, and God didn't see fit to deliver them out of it. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. You see? So, it says, and it came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, onto the firstborn of the cattle that was in the dungeon, see, and all the firstborn of the cattle. So it didn't make any difference where you had the cattle, unless you had them somewhere with that blood in that, right? Because the blood was over the doorpost. Oh, man, he didn't tell them to put it over the barn. So maybe that was a myth thing, you know, that he was going to kill the cattle, you know. Because I can't read anywhere. He said to put the doorpost. But if you was a smart Hebrew, you was like, man, I'm putting blood everywhere. I'm going to put it on my horses. I'm putting it over my carriage. I'm putting it over wherever I can find it, if I can put it. Because, you know, like me, man, when I anoint my crib with oil, I anoint the water heads, the fountains. I anoint the shower heads. I anoint the tub heads. I anoint the sink heads. I anoint my utilities, all of that good stuff. And when there are blackouts in my communities, I can testify that I have an experience. You know, I've been in several blackouts, and I can say that I can testify that I haven't experienced them to any degree. You know, that I had to suffer losses. You know, maybe it was out for like 20 or 30 minutes at best. But like I said, I anoint everything. Everything from my house to my light switches. You know, definitely the shower head. Definitely the shower head. Oh, the front door coming in and going. Oh, for sure. You put oil over that. You know, because you don't know who coming through your door. So you got to make sure that your crib is covered by whoever coming through your door, because they may be bringing something ill. What you do is you make sure that whatever they bring ill is rebuked at the door. That's why you cover your door. There it is. Henceforth, covering of the doorway, which is the top and the bottom, right? This is a beautiful thing. So, yeah, I think I will do that. I'm going to do that. On Passover, God willing we live, I want to put a red ribbon on the doorpost, you know,
And, yeah, that would be real cool. I think, yeah, I think that's something that we should do. Put it in the doorpost. Yep. Hey, man. Done. Okay. Okay. So now we see here. Now, remember, this is what he said. According to the law, in the self-same day, he brought the captives out of bondage. But get this, right? When are you set free? When are you brought and set free at the great white throne judgment? One is you set free from the sins of death because he passed over your sins. And then you set free from the body, which is the bondage of sin, which Adam brought upon us. So you set free. Literally, you set free. You know, from the bondage of death. You know, which Adam brought. I don't piss on Adam, man. Adam is a beautiful being. I thank Adam for everything, man. Adam was ambidextrous. You know, Adam was a genius. I wish I could be Adam. I could only wish I was him. Let alone think I'm better than him. I wish I could just be his. I wish I could be a fraction of what he is. He's the beginning of all the Father's strength. You know what that's saying? This is that thing. So, let's look at this a little further. So remember now we landscaping, right? We got the paper landscape, so this is what we're doing. We're landscaping the paper, so I want everybody to pay attention to that. We're still talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and why is it the first day? All right, why is the Passover and Unleavened the first day? Why is this conversation? Remember now, pay attention to this. Let's go into Genesis chapter 17. And right here, verse 17 and 1. Abraham was 99 years old when the Lord appeared unto Abram, said unto him, I am the mighty God, walk before me. Perfect. So that's 99, right? Remember now, on the Passover, in the creation, there is a 9. What do you mean? The 9 eternity. Man is going to dwell with God. There he is. Here comes God, right here. Walk before me and be thou perfect. There he is. And you will be with me forever. There are 9 and 9, right? This is why when you look at the creation calendar, you're going to see 14 and you're going to see 9 there. There it is. Abraham is a witness that God offered him the kingdom of God in Genesis chapter 14. That was Abraham and Melchizedek, and that was Jesus that came in the flesh who met Abraham in his power with the bread and wine as Melchizedek. That's him. So he's telling us that on a and the 9th day that we're going to take part in this, but first something got to take place on the 8th day. Watch this. And it said, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every male man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token twixt me and you. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in your house or bought with money, any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in our house, see, it don't matter. If he was born up under the covenant, they have to be circumcised on the 8th day. You can't have strangers in your camp and their children running around all uncircumcised and how this works. No, if you call yourself a follower of Abraham, your children got to be circumcised like you. And it goes on. It says this. He brought with money must need to be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And this uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh. See that? Then make a difference. Whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised. That soul shall be cut off from his people. He have broken my covenant. Can't get around it. He's talking about cutting people off.
So he told us on the eighth day that you got to be circumcised. Now, here we go. He said, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt call her name, as Sarai, thy wife, that shall call her, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now watch this. Now watch this when she have Isaac. Okay? So, took Ishmael, his son, all that were born in his house, all that were brought with money. See, this represents all the world with Ishmael, right? Because Ishmael is 13. He's the creation. So he's the children of flesh. Everybody's going to be circumcised on the 13th day of the creation. This is Ishmael. Watch this. Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, all that were bought with money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self-same day as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 99 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old. They go to the 13th day in the creation, which happened to meet up at the 8th day. There it is. That's why I said, when you do this, when you landscape it, there go Ishmael right there. But he is the great white throne judgment. He represents everybody. But then the law said Abraham is the father of the uncircumcised too. There are going to be people that come up in a second resurrection that's going to receive mercy, and God is going to pass over their sins, and they are going to get into the kingdom. Because they've been passed over. This is why we keep in the feast of unleavened bread. Why? Because when you're passed over here, guess what? Ain't no more leavening. The leavening was destroyed on the 8th day or the 13th day in the creation. This is why the 14th day in the creation is the first day of unleavened bread, because there's no more leaven. It was judged. That's why John said he would thoroughly purge his floor. He was talking about the Christ. He said, no, I'm not the Christ, but the one come after me, he's going to thoroughly purge his floor. He's going to remove the shape and all that. Like, you know, you get rid of the leavening out your house, he's going to get rid of the leavening. And so John said that before Jesus came and he was baptized to him. John was talking about the judgment, the eighth day, the unleavened bread on the eighth day, that before the Passover, he was going to purge his house, which is what he did. We all agree that Revelations 20, 1 through 7 is the seventh day. We all agree with that because Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and that man is going to receive, you know, the Sabbath day without interruption. Satan is going to be bound that whole day. But when the 1,000 years are up, you go into the eighth day, which is the first day of the week. When that brings us back to Genesis chapter 1. He separated the light from the darkness on the first day. Then you go into the first day and the eighth day, which happened to be one. He told us, he called it in from the beginning, I'm going to judge man on the first day of the week. After the Sabbath day, you go into the first day, which just so happened to be the eighth day in the creation, which so happened to be the 13th day in the creation, where man is going to be judged. You're not getting it to the Passover unless you circumcise. That's the law. You got to be circumcised. And ain't no stranger going to eat that of it. None of that good stuff. You don't just invite people to the Passover. You can't do it because they take that blood on word meaty and be gone out of here. Can't do that. This is for the strong. This is for the saints. You can't mess with that. That ain't for anybody. This is that thing. Exodus 12, right? Because now Abraham is circumcising people. Why is he circumcising people, right? Genesis chapter 17, he's circumcising people. He circumcised Isaac. Well, let's read that. Let's go to 18. And 19. Because I want to pick up Isaac being born. He was born in 21. Right, he was born in 21. So watch this. How old was Sarah when she gave birth to Isaac? Now watch this, Genesis 21:1. And the Lord visited Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. At this set time which God spoken. See, this was set. So this had to be a prophetic moment. And he said this, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, and whom Sarah had bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old, but remember he was 99 when he was circumcised, when his son Isaac was born unto him. Sarah said, God had made me laugh so that they would hear and would laugh with me. He said, and he, who would give suck to Abraham? And Sarah have given children suck. I have borne him a son in old age. She was 99 years old. She was 90. She was 90. She was 10 years younger than Abraham. This is a good number. You know, I think that man should be 10 years older than his wife. You know, I'm not knocking that if you got married and both of y'all is the same age. And I can't read nowhere in the law that a man married a woman that was older than him. Apologies, but I can't agree, assign to that it's in the Bible. Even though we do this in this world, it's not in the book. So, Abraham, let me see if I can find that scripture with how Sarah was. He had Isaac. No. Okay, I ain't gonna search that out right. But anyway, she was 90. So that's another 9. So 9 represents eternity. Isaac is a 9. Remember now, he was an 8 when he was born. So when he was circumcised, he was already for eternity. You see? This is that thing. He was born for eternity. This is why when you read Isaac's spirit, you pick up one of the most humblest and one of the most meekest spirits you can find. I don't pick Isaac as I pick him up as a humble dude, a really, really humble person. When you read Isaac's story, the spirit to me is Isaac is really a humble cat. You know, even though his father was filthy, rich, and great, and that he had everything that he can imagine, he was still a humble person. And that's what I get from him. Now let's go into just go to Luke, right? Let's just go to Luke. Luke 22:1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Once again, right? The Passover and unleavened bread is synonymous. Why? Because everybody had to be circumcised. Oh, that's not, I'm not here yet. Wait a minute, let's go to Exodus 12, right? Because we just got to reading Genesis 17. We got to go to Exodus 12:43. Okay, we're not here yet. Exodus 12:43. Now, this is the reason why you get circumcised. And it says this. And the Lord spake, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no strangers eat thereof. Not just a stranger, you know, like somebody that's of a nationality, but a stranger that don't know God. You know, uncircumcised, you know. Somebody that just don't know God. He don't know who the God of Israel is. He don't know none about his ordinance. He don't know none about the dietary laws. He don't know none of the good things. And this is him. This is what he said. He said, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when he has circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. See, there it is. So it's all about eating the Passover, being circumcised. That's why you had to be circumcised on the 13th day in Ishmael and the 8th day of Adam, the 8th day of Isaac, which is the same day. which is just before the Passover. Both of them is before the Passover. The 13th day in the creation would signify the calendar of the Abib, and the 8th day of man would signify the covenant of Abraham, that man was going to be circumcised on the 8th day. Here it is. And now he's talking about everybody, right? Every man's servant that is bought for money or bought for a price, right? We are bought for a price, which is his blood, which is this. This is 30 pieces of silver. Throw that in there. When thou hast circumcised him, then shall you eat thereof. You can't eat of the Passover. You're not getting into the kingdom of God unless you have shed flesh and blood. So that's why flesh and blood had to be done away with, because there shall be no more flesh and blood in the kingdom. Why? Because when man is circumcised, there went the flesh and blood. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Leviticus chapter 16. No, let's see. I don't want to do that. Let's go on to Leviticus 18. Let's see. Yeah, Leviticus 18. Talking about a woman that's unclean, right? And it says this. It says this in Leviticus 18 and 19. And it says this. And thou shalt not approach unto a woman and to uncover her nakedness, as long as she put apart for her uncleanness. It's the only time you can't have sex with her. It says, moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife. So now you can't lay with a woman that's on her menstrual. This is that thing, right? So let's look at that. Leviticus 15, it says, and if a woman has an issue, Leviticus 15 and 19, and if a woman has an issue of blood, and her issue of her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, right? And whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everyone that shall lieth upon her separation shall be unclean until the evening. This is why, you know, buses, no place is clean right now. So, you know, right. He don't do all of that. He's going to clean, fix all of that stuff. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. Also, this is why during this time, she's supposed to have a week off a month. She ain't even supposed to be working or around the children, none of that good stuff. For a whole month, she get a whole week away from us. You know, I bet you can, you know, like, that's like a two-edged sword. Like, I can't wait to jet, but then I got to deal with this thing, you know. But anyway, yeah. Whoso touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Whoso touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean until the evening. If it be on her bed or anything whereon she sitteth, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the evening. If any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days. All the bed wherein he lieth on shall be clean, like unclean. So, like, say for instance, he having sex with her, then all of a sudden she come on a period. Well, guess what? This dude is unclean for 7 days. He didn't just pop up while she was unclean. It happened while they were doing it. So you don't lay with no female that's having an issue of blood running out of it. You don't do that. You know, you can catch her. She's discharging, right? She's discharging everything from you, right, that you've been giving her, good and bad, and then she's discharging her own stuff. So all of this is like really negative energy, so you don't want no part of that. So it says this. If a woman have an issue of blood, it says this, man. If any man lie with her at all and a flower be upon him, like you come up and you're like, man, she unclean, man, then you're stuck. So you unclean 7 days with her. And in all, well, that's your wife. Well, you might as well say, like, don't be pissed because, you know, you wasn't pissed when you was jumping. You thought she was juicy, but yeah, it was juicy. But thought, though. Yeah, it happened. Anyway, verse 25, if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of separation. Now, he's getting the time window. If it run beyond the time of her separation, all that she's getting the time window again. Let's pay attention to the time window now. Watch this. So the time window is in the creation clock. Watch this. All the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every day when she lieth, all the days of issue shall be also her day as on her separation. Whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. Touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and shall bathe himself in water, shall be unclean till the evening. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then shall she number herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. When? On the 8th day. Why? Why? Why is she clean on the 8th day? Why is it that men have to be circumcised on the 8th day? We're going to come back to this. It's 15 and 29. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why is that? 1 Corinthians 15, it says this. 15 and 50. It says this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do corruption have corruption. So he's not talking to the world with this. He's talking to the priests, those that know the law. Like God was talking to Levi. Watch this. He said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So this is a mystery. What do you mean? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So when is flesh and blood done away with? Flesh is done away with on the 8th day, and so is the blood according to Leviticus 15. And where do we leave off? 29. See? There was a law right there. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There was a woman and her 8th day, and on that 8th day, she's going to be clean of the blood. Why? Because, well, that's the law. And then man circumcised on the 8th day, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul was way up the food chain when he broke this down, because he brought in the circumcision. He brought in the first resurrection. He brought in the great white throne judgment. He was skying. He was way up there. I don't even know who he was talking to like this, because I know he said in one spot he was talking to somebody. He said, I want to talk to you about some things, but your ears ain't ready to hear these things. So who is he talking to here? You know, that's ready to hear this, right? Yeah, so he was way up the food chain on this one. So he was bringing that. He was full of the Spirit on that ride. What were we? Leviticus 15. And it says this, right? Now pay real close attention to this conversation. In verse 29, and on the 8th day, she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves and two pigeons. Bring them unto the priest, Jesus, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in New Jerusalem. And the priest, Jesus, right, this is at the great white throne. This is why he's doing away with flesh and blood. You bring that to him. And he said, the priest shall offer for a sin offering and for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement before the Lord of the issue of our uncleanness. Thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness. See, look, man, it's almost like, you know, when we have sex, we got to take a shower, because we don't want to drop dead, and we got this on us, man, when we appear before God, you know, the issues of our flesh, right? So this is that thing. And it says this, this is the law of him that has an issue of him whose seed goeth from him and defiled therewith, and of her is sick of her flowers, and of him that have an issue of a man, of the man, and of the woman, and of him that lieth for her, that is unclean. So flesh and blood is going to be done away with at the same time on the 8th day. So that's the law. So we see this now. So this whole thing is that in order for you to take part in the Passover, those things have to be done away with. So watch this now. Matthew chapter 26, and it says this. Now look what Jesus said. Pay attention to this. Right? Flesh and blood is done away with. Pay attention. And he said this in verse 26 and 42. And no, I'm going to read the higher. Yeah. and 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread. We act like Jesus didn't, they weren't eating before he took the bread. No, there was a feast day, you know, like we'd be ready to eat and then we see cornbread. So, yeah, have a future. 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Right? Because it's going to be done away with. Right? This body that he's talking about is going to be done away with. Yeah, he already told us that. He said he's going to destroy this. He's going to tear down his body and raise it up on the third day. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, and gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the other remission of sins. See, flesh and blood, watch this. I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the vine, of the fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're going to stay in conversation. Guess where it landed? 29. So, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, once again, I want you to look at that paper that I asked you to put together at the beginning of this. I wanted you to look at that, and I want you to number 1 through 14, right? And then I want you to call that the creation calendar. I want you, over the top of that, call that the creation calendar. And then up under it, I want you to call the Adam calendar. And then I want you to number 1 from 6, 1 through 9. Starting at the 6, 1 through 9. That should land you on the Passover. 13 should land you on the 8th day. 8 should land you on the 8th day. And 14 and 9 should both be the same, as we found out. Sarah, Abraham were both 9999. They're all 9. Right? But in order to take part in that, they had to be circumcised. Abraham had to circumcise everybody. He circumcised everybody. Then God reiterated it again and said, okay, this is the ordinance for the Passover. Everybody want to take part in that Passover, you better be circumcised. If you bought with money, that means I paid for you, man. But my blood gets circumcised. You ain't going to be taking part in the kingdom like that, you know. If you know better, you can't take part in the Passover. Who don't want? That's the deep. That's the corner of this day. And then you got those that were born in the house on the 8th day, and they were circumcised. So this conversation, he said, that you may take part of the Passover. See that this thing is a lot bigger than what we thought. It's not just something to do, but it's a kingdom sign, right? So, with all that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone tomorrow. Tomorrow, we want to be back here tomorrow morning. And we're going to be dealing with the creation. We're back into the creation series, right? So we're still dealing with the angels. We're dealing with the administration of the spirit. So we dealt with the evil ones. Now we're dealing with the righteous ones, because the prophets have to be ignited, man. People don't understand that these angels actually take over you. They do. They possess you just like the evil angels possess you. You know, that's always been one of my questions, man, when it came to this, you dig? So, and I asked this question, on this wise that, people would say, you know, well, holy angels won't possess you, but the evil angels can. It must be a law that an angel can enter into you. And so when you read the scriptures, then you start seeing that law manifesting himself or manifesting itself, that angels can take over someone, good and evil. Well, we're going to look at that tomorrow morning, that the good angels can actually fill you up and take over you. Right? And you'll be able to do miraculous things. Or you might just be in the spirit like David, man. Be ready to write. Right? Or you might be in the spirit like David and Samson and be ready to war. Or Joshua. Right? Or you might be in the spirit of Joshua and be ready to write in war. Right? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the same one that filled up Moses. That's the same one that was inside of Saul, and then the evil one filled him up. See, it was already there. How come we're going to say that the spirits can't fill you up, and then we see that it do? We see that the spirit that was in Saul, and that one left, filled up David, then the evil one from God filled up Saul.
We're going to look at all that stuff, man. So, yeah, so tomorrow, we'll be back here at 10 o'clock a.m. We'll be here at 10 o'clock a.m. So that we can get into that part of the creation series, man, because we're still in the first day, right? So this is that thing. So we want to thank God for Black History Month, because we're still in the first day of the creation, man. I mean, we got like 7 more days to go, you know. And for the most part, when you look at this, man, we can be in this creation theory probably, oh, my God. You see how God leads us, right? We see how he leads us in this matter. So what we're going to do, we're just going to leave it here, and God willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning. Thank you for picking up with us at 9 o'clock this evening. Brothers and sisters, I know it was later than normally that we do, but, you know, hey, man, I wish I was in my land. I wish I were all in them. We wouldn't be having this conversation, because on a Saturday day, everybody would be out of off work at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. That would be the last time, you know, everybody would be off at 12 to me, you know. So with that being said, you know, we'll be issues running into Sabbath days. We're doing Babylon. It is what it is right now. So with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time, and we hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, read your Bibles. I don't know what's happening so fast. Adobe. There we go. Shabbat Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.